Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Real Talk, a movie podcast. We are your go-to source for ratings and recommendations of past and present films. I am your host, Wes Jones, podcasting from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Hey, this is Tommy, podcasting straight from Nashville, Tennessee.
The Movie Buddy Conway, podcasting from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Hey, Real Talk community, we're back with another reviewing the new episode. And if this is your first time listening to a reviewing the new episode, all we're going to do is some mini reviews for brand new films to help you decide should you go out and see the movie in the theater, or should you pay the $20 or the $10 or whatever to stream it, or should you just avoid it altogether. So we've got the crew here. We're going to talk through some brand new movies. And I really think that you're going to enjoy these reviews. One thing I want to do at the very start, I want to shout out the Father and Son Watch Horror Movies podcast. I was listening to their latest episode where they gave podcast awards, and I want to accept my award for the best networked podcast. They gave Real Talk, a movie podcast, the best networking podcast award. It was such a cool episode.
All right, what's our next category?
All right, we're getting close to the end here, but I got a couple more. First of all, best networker in the game, and that's got to go to Real Talk.
Yes.
Real Talk podcast, in less than a year, Wes, Gabe, and Tommy, they've amassed over 1,600 followers on Twitter, thousands of listeners, and some really, really impressive interviews with the director of Hell House LLC, a guy who had roles in Sharknado and freaking Argo. That's a movie with Alan Arkin, which we were just talking about.
Yep.
Sandy Keen Carpenter, who produced many John Carpenter movies, and even John Carpenter himself. And they just started less than a year ago. So that's crazy. That is insane. And it's because they're so hardworking. They're great networkers. They're the kindest people you could ever hope to interact with. And they're hilarious. I would say that you will have just as many. If you love Retro Movie Geek, if you love laughing, you will love Real Talk, because they are very akin. And you know that they're also fans of Land of the Creeps. So that shined through. They were on our episode about Dead Snow. And Wes and Gabe were hilarious on that episode. They were great. So they're a huge inspiration to the podcasting community, because they made it, really. And we're definitely happy and proud of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, I'm getting ready to, on Monday when I go for a walk, to listen to their latest episode that just dropped.
Yes.
So yeah, absolutely. The guys in Real Talk, you know, they're authentic. They're wonderful. They're insightful. And like you said, they're just a lot of fun. You know, Gabe and Tommy, can we just say poor Wes?
Yep. Wes, well, here's the thing. I don't feel bad for Wes, because he's got one of the most calming and amazing voices in podcasting. So if I could have that, I think I would put up with it. You know, I could. he's got a superpower. And I will say, my favorite are their guilty pleasure episodes. My favorite episode they ever put out was one they did on Mortal Kombat, and it was their Guilty Pleasure series, and they spent about half the time talking about working at an electronics store and playing music through the things and singing along to it. It's just a blast. You got to listen to it. They got great stories. And they're all friends, and the guests that they have on, you know, are also friends. So it's a really casual environment, but they're hard workers, and they definitely deserve a listen.
Absolutely. My favorite episode is the Ghostbusters episode, but they're all good. They're all good. So absolutely. Yep. Check out Real Talk, R-E-E-L Talk.
Mm-hmm. Like a movie reel. Right.
Exactly. So.
And I just want to thank the Two-Person Academy for this prestigious award. Yeah. I don't want to thank my co-hosts at all, because of, you know, all of the stuff and anguish that they put me through, you know, trying to keep them on track. But I will step away from the mic and let Gabe and T-Man accept the Best Networking Award.
Yeah, thank you, Wes. Look, I went on your show and I talked about the most disturbing, disgusting outhouse scene I've ever seen for entirely too long. In fact, it haunts my dreams. And you still gave us an award? Hats off. Thank you, Father and Son Podcast. That's all I have to say.
You know, I've got a lot of people to thank. I've got a long list. Don't music me off. I don't want to hear the orchestra playing. This is going to take at least 35 minutes. But here's the thing. I wasn't able to join the Father and Son Podcast when Wes and Gabe went on, but I listened to the episode. They had a great time with it, I know. But I do want to thank them so much for listening to us and being so supportive and saying such nice things. Though I did notice that they said that they feel sorry for Wes having to deal with Gabe and my shenanigans. I don't think our shenanigans are that bad. Gabe, are we that bad, you think?
I think our shenanigans are healthy shenanigans.
Healthy shenanigans, right. Though Wes does look like he's aged about 5 years.
Yeah, since the podcast plus. Started. That is good.
So maybe unhealthy shenanigans.
Unhealthy shenanigans.
Healthy shenanigans for us.
Yes.
All right, audience. Well, we're just going to get right into it here. Again, these episodes are just meant to be something quick so you can decide if you want to watch these new movies. So, T-Man, I know you've brought something delicious for us tonight. I know a lot of the fans are probably only going to care about your movie, so take it away.
I had a dream. Almost like a premonition. There's an attack coming.
My lord, this world will fall.
I need warriors. I'm building an alliance to defend ourselves.
How do you know your team's strong enough? If you can't bring down the charging bull and don't wave the red cape at it,
you're sent here for a reason. And even if it takes you the rest of your life, find out what that reason is.
Thanks so much, man. Yeah, I've been excited for this. I know a lot of people have been excited also. So we're talking about Zack Snyder's Justice League, the four-hour epic cut that went to HBO Max last week. And, you know, there's been so much in the news, so much written about it, so much talked about it. I don't even know where to begin. So just give you a little backstory for those that don't know a lot about it. Of course, you had Justice League that came out in, I believe, 2017. It was just an absolute piece of trash. Arguably one of the worst movies I've ever seen in the movie theater. So if you know the backstory behind it, Zack Snyder started making it. He left after he filmed most of it through personal struggles, and the studio was really pushing back against him because Batman Superman wasn't widely praised, even though, Gabe, I know you agree with this, I actually like it. But
I loved it.
Yeah, so, but after he left the project, they brought on Joss Whedon, I think that's how you say his name, who did Whedon, that's it. He did Avengers. He did Avengers Ultron. He created Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He had a lot of cred in the comic book and nerd community. But whatever he did with Justice League was an absolute travesty. They cut it down to 2 hours. He brought in a bunch of jokes. It just sucked. So after that bombed, and after several years of internet fans saying release the Snyder cut, they started getting it trending. They started getting Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot responding. It got this huge fan fervor. And you know what? HBO said, okay, well, HBO Max is bombed. Here's $70 million to get us publicity in the news and finish your movie. And that's what they did. And after all that, they released it this weekend. So how is the actual movie? That's the question. That's what everybody's wanting to know. So I want to just say, kind of give a caveat here. While the first Justice League is absolutely horrible, this one is actually pretty good. It's not that bad. It's not a great movie still. The still structural problems of Justice League, if you've seen that, the basic plot is the same. this movie just flushes it out much more. It's 4 hours, which is insane, honestly, that a comic movie is 4 hours. But it doesn't seem like it's 4 hours for some reason. And I'll put it this way. I like Zack Snyder movies. So I think if you like Zack Snyder movies, you will like this movie. If you don't, though, it's going to be too much. Because this is like Zack Snyder on drugs. It's like everything he loves, but like he's doubling down. It's probably got at least 2 hours of Zack Snyder slow-mo. Like, that's how much slow motion he's got. 2 complete hours. I mean, it's insane how much he's got in there. But like I said, what I like about it is, and I've said this before on this podcast or on other podcasts, is I appreciate that Zack Snyder has a vision. He has a directorial vision that he has. It's his own unique thing, and he sees it through. Whether you like it or not, you know you're watching a Zack Snyder movie. And a lot of comic book movies, especially Marvel, even though I really like a lot of the Marvel movies, they don't feel like they have a directorial vision behind them. They feel like they have a corporatized vision behind them. The corporation's running the movie. Where Zack Snyder, you know that Zack Snyder's, that's his vision. This is his movie. So, like I said, the plot kind of is stupid. The villain's okay, but it has that Zack Snyder vision, which I really appreciated. So, what I would recommend is if you like Zack Snyder movies, then you've got to check it out. Or if you just want to see what all the publicity is about, I would definitely check it out. And I'll say this, I'll leave it at this. I mean, what other comic movie are you going to have Zeus in it fighting like some demigod? I mean, Zeus literally shows up in a battle and he's like kicking ass. As soon as an hour in, I saw Zeus, I'm like, I'm sold. I'm in. This is a movie for me. So I don't know if you guys have any reaction to that or any additional thoughts on Zack Snyder's Justice League.
I'm sold. I haven't seen it yet. I don't have HBO, but I'm going to watch it when I'm down there hanging out with you, hopefully for 4 hours.
I am probably not going to watch it. And the only reason is because, again, I'm not the biggest comic book movie fan. I saw parts of Justice League. I do not like what DC is doing, you know, with their movies these days. And to think about subjecting myself to 4 hours of that is a little daunting. So, T-Man, I would like to ask you, though, just for the audience, if you're going to rate it, like, where you at on it?
You know, it's a great question because I've gone back and forth. It's a really just interesting movie to think about because I've thought about, like I said, the plot's not that good. It's pretty basic, but there's such vision or like uniqueness of how Zack Snyder films. Like, his action is so interesting to me, even though it's all CGI, it's all fake, but it's still so good in a lot of ways. I would say probably like a 7 out of 10. Like, it's entertaining. I watched the whole thing. Like, and I was actually looking forward. Like, I watched the first 3 hours of it, and then I had to take a break and finished it. But I was actually looking forward to finishing it. And it's got like a crazy ass 30-minute epilogue. Like, who else other than Zack Snyder would make a 4-hour epic? And then at the very end, he puts a 30-minute epilogue in it. Of course, the 30-minute epilogue, is a lot of it is setting up for what DC wanted to do in the future. But none of that's really going to happen, probably. But I think it's a shame, honestly. This has kind of been trending on the internet and on Twitter and stuff. A lot of people are saying Warner Brothers should restore Zack Snyder's vision. You know, that got trending. Restore Zack Snyder's, DC universe. I don't think it's going to happen. But honestly, the way that these Warner Brothers executives have totally ruined these movies, DC movies. I mean, you saw Suicide Squad, what they did with Justice League. You can't trust these WB executives for anything. So I would rather have Zack Snyder in charge of these movies than them, personally.
Well, I think that's a good review for it, and I think what T-Man is echoed is a lot about what I'm reading. You know,
yeah.
I mean, even the new Wonder Woman.
He's a little
Woman,
higher than what I've been reading. What I've been reading is about a 60, and he gave it a 70.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of people excited about it, and I can tell you there was way more people excited about the Snyder Cut than they were for the sequel to Wonder Woman, Justice League, to Suicide Squad, to Margot Robbie's new turn. Birds of Prey, I think, is what that one was called.
Wasn't
so DC might need to think about how can I work with Zack Snyder to get this back on track.
Honestly, Wes, and maybe I'm in the minority here. I know a lot of people liked Aquaman. I didn't even really like Aquaman that much. Like but I'm also a Zack Snyder fan. Like this, I like his movies. I always have, and I like this one. It's too much. It's 4 hours long. It's way too much. But like, I just don't understand. What I just don't understand the most, I think, is how these Warner Bros. Executives can screw up this DC universe so bad over and over again. And we're right back to where we are, where, you know, they actually made a good movie out of this, but now they're wanting to go into a totally different direction. And I have a feeling they're going to screw up that going forward. So I just don't trust what they're going to do with DC.
We're going to be talking about Batman Forever. I think the Justice League is a worse movie than Batman Forever. I will give you a little spoiler there. And Justice League is bad.
It is horrendous. That's why I say, like, everybody, I've said this before, everybody associated with Justice League that was released should not be working in Hollywood anymore. That's how bad they screwed that whole thing. They spent, imagine this, they spent $200 million on the first Justice League movie to make. Then they pumped in $100 million to bring in Joss Whedon, screwed that whole thing up. Then they brought in another $70 million for Zack Snyder to finish this movie. Like, I just don't understand how any of those people have jobs anymore. Now, Joss Whedon, he ain't going to have a job anymore. He's done. But all these other studio executives, I don't see how. And honestly, what's kind of cool is Zack Snyder, turns out he's a good guy. Like, a lot of people like him. A lot of people has had his back. And this is going to turn out all right for him. And with all the personal tragedy he's went through, with the suicide of his daughter, all of that, I'm glad that he's going to have some good come of this.
Yeah, me too.
All right, well, there's T-Man's review for the Snyder Cut. And so next we're going to go over to Gabe. Gabe, what have you brought for the audience tonight?
Life. I trained to become a guardian of the Dragon Gem. But this world has changed. And its people are divided. Now, to restore peace, I must find the last dragon. My name is Raya.
Finally. I've been on this podcast for a flibbing, I don't know, year now, and I haven't had one dragon movie pop up. I'm getting ready to talk about, that's right, Disney's Raya the Last Dragon. And we haven't had a kid movie pop up on this list yet, but I wanted to talk about a topic that's been...
Real quick, remember Klaus?
Well, I did talk about Klaus, but nobody watched it. And you guys thought I was crazy. But then the very next guest we had on said she loved Klaus. What? Anyway, so the movie I'm talking about is Raya the Last Dragon. And I want to talk about a little bit of a thing that Disney Plus is doing. So they're releasing all their movies on Disney Plus before the theaters now. And I think they're going to continue to do that. So they did it with Mulan. They did it with Soul. And they did it with Raya. And kind of before all that happened, Trolls 2 came online where you could watch it beforehand, and parents were just buying it like hotcakes.
The George Hardy version?
No. Troll 2 World Tour. It's a very different movie than the George Hardy version. Parents are not buying that like hotcakes. Adults are. Maybe they are. I don't know. After the kids go to bed. Anyway, but people were buying that like hotcakes. I don't think it did as well with Mulan. Oh, it did good with Mulan, but I don't think it did as well with Soul. But then with Raya, it came back and did well. And so it was the first one that I bought. I think that it's going to... T-Man's giving me the thumbs down. Why are you giving me the thumbs down?
Here, let me... sorry. No, I was just going to say, from what I've read... Mulan did not do well. So what Disney's doing is they're doing that 30. So Disney, I find really interesting what they're doing here. They're doing a lot of experimenting because they did a $30 pay and pay at the Mulan for Mulan. Then they just released Saul straight out without any additional charge. Then Rhea is $30 additional. Right. Now this other Pixar one that's coming out later in the summer will also not have a $30 charge. So they're really kind of screwing over Pixar. And I'm hearing that's getting some backlash in the studios at Pixar. So I don't know. They're just doing some really strange things at Disney.
That is strange. Actually, you're right. Like, because Soul Count came out immediately, so I didn't buy it. Well, I didn't buy Mulan. This is the first one that I actually bought. But we bought it because, you know, we had kids in town. So it was going to be like 8 kids that were going to see it. So we were just like, you know, we'll go ahead and buy it because, I mean, that's like $4 a head. So I think there's money in that, like, for these kids' movies. I don't know if it – I don't think the model works for any adult movie at all. I don't think it would ever work for any adult movie. But I do think it could work for children's movie because – okay, so I might have been wrong about Soul, but did – let me ask you this. When they did the Troll 2 World Tour, did that do well? Because I bet it did.
From what I've read, and this is just from the trade paper, so I don't have any inside info, but from what I've read, Trolls 2 did do very well. But that was a different circumstance. That was at the very beginning of the pandemic, and there was not a lot of competition from other movies. Whereas now, Disney Plus is starting to release more and more. Theaters are open, so there's more competition. Also, when you add that $30 additional fee, how many other people are going to be buying that? I'm not sure. So from what I've read, none of those have done as well as you would, as well as they would want, really, truly, to replace the theatrical. At the same time, I don't think you can blame Disney for experimenting while theaters are closed. They've got different things going. You can't blame them. I just don't think it's a long-term viable option. Just like the HBO Max thing. Remember, well, all right, so I'll just say this. Remember we talked about this about 6 months ago. So what did HBO announce maybe this week? So they're not going. Their 2022 releases are not going that HBO Max way. This was just going to be a 1 year thing, kind of what we predicted.
I think this only works with kids' movies. I will say the kids down the street like came over to watch Raya the Last Dragon because they found out that we had it because they really wanted to see it. But it's like I don't think this works with an adult audience because it's so.
It doesn't. But also, so that just shows you how I don't see how it's going to work because you've got 8 kids. Just charging $30. How's Disney making money off that? They're not going to. I think it only works
more
honestly
than 8 kids that have seen it on my TV for $30.
I think it only works during the pandemic. I also understand why Warner Bros. And Disney they're doing it to boost Disney Plus, but that only works for so long because once you have the subscribers, you have the subscribers.
Yeah,
this is a short term play. It's not a long term play.
Yeah. I agree. I think this is old news, like literally after the pandemic's over. But let me jump a little bit into the movie. Raya the Last Dragon has a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a spectacular movie. And honestly, I know we talk about Pixar movies a lot being visually stunning. This movie's stunning. Like, it's Disney's most stunning movie that you will see animation-wise from start to finish. The animation, I don't know what they did. I don't know anything about the technology, so sorry, people. I don't have anything to say there. But this movie's absolutely, like, when you put it up on your big screen, you're going to be like, this is the coolest animation I've ever seen. The story itself, it's about a time when humans and dragons live together in harmony, but more so it's about a time when humans live together in harmony, which is a common theme that we're dealing with right now. A lot of people have complained about the message, but some people super love the message. I'm in the camp that super loves the message. I love the dragon in the movie. I love the story of the movie, but I don't think it's Disney's best movie. So if I had to rate the movie, it's got a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm not in that camp. I love dragons. Don't get me wrong, people, but I'm only going to give it a 7 out of 10. I don't want to ruin anything because I think everybody should watch this movie. As far as rewatchability for children, my children have watched this movie 537 times since we bought it. They absolutely love it.
Sounds good. And T-Man, were you planning on seeing this?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how great it looks for me. I did watch Onward on Disney Plus, and I really enjoyed that. I would watch it when it just comes on Disney Plus without charging additionally. I probably will. But also, I haven't watched Soul yet, so I really probably need to watch that first.
I'll give you guys my quick ranking. I actually think Onward is better. I've watched Onward more times, and the rewatchability of Onward's better. So I go Onward, Raya, Soul. I actually did not like Soul that much at all. Like, the animation was cool, And I'm not somebody that hated the story or anything. Like, I just didn't like the movie.
The last Disney movie I was interested in was Coco, and it was awesome. So I haven't really seen awesome. Anything that has appealed to me since. But
and I'm glad you said that. This is the coolest animation I've seen since Coco. That was on my notes.
Yeah, you've piqued my interest just by talking about the animation. So I'll probably watch this one Disney Plus, I think, after your review for sure.
Well, there's Gabe's review for Last Ride of the Dragon. Did I say that? Is that
Raya the Last Dragon?
Ride of the Last Dragon. Sorry,
Raya. Raya.
There we go.
Ride the Last Dragon. Let's go.
Ride that Last Dragon.
Ride that dragon, boy.
Gabe loves to ride dragons.
All right, audience. I'm going to close out tonight's episode. I got a quick 1-2 punch here from the world of horror. I'll tell you, audience, I'm a little frustrated. I listen to a lot of different horror podcasts. I love our horror podcast community with Land of the Creeps and Father and Son Watch Horror and Jay of the Dead Show. He talks it on Considering the Cinema and Horror Movie Weekly, both. But there's a lot of love out there for 2020 horror. I'm not buying it, guys. I've seen all these ones that people are putting in their top 10 lists and stuff like that. And every one of them I watch, they're just not that impressive. Invisible Man has definitely been the best horror film of 2020. So I'm going to give you a 1-2 punch tonight really quick. I'm going to tell you about Hunter Hunter.
This is a hard life. You chose it and it suits you. I chose it when I chose you. Renee never had a choice.
What do you do if you see something?
Don't run.
A wolf is back. Ate a raccoon and left the paw.
This isn't a normal wolf.
It's just a hungry wolf looking for a new female. I will catch it.
What is that?
It's a ring.
The wolf ate a ring?
Maybe it's attached to something that tasted good.
What, like a finger?
Where did she say she found this?
Out in the woods.
Hello?
Jesus.
And this movie stars Devon Sawa, if anybody remembers Devon Sawa from Final Destination, and he was in all kinds of Idle Hands, and he was a teen heartthrob, all that. He turns in a great performance in Hunter Hunter. And what Hunter Hunter is about is a family lives out in the wilderness, and there is a dangerous wolf that lives in the forest. It is a threat to the family. So the father and the daughter are going to go and hunt this wolf. When they go out to hunt the wolf, some few dangerous things occur. The dad decides he is going to go and hunt by himself. He discovers something very disturbing while he's out there. Basically, the mom has to take over life back at the house with the daughter. And I'm not going to go on any further from here because it's going to ruin the rest of the story. What this movie is known for is its ending, which most of the movie, you're not going to understand what's in the horror category up until you get to the very end. And I really think that's what the movie hangs its hat on. And so I just don't think there's enough story here to really keep many people's interest. It's just not a really interesting story. It is a well-done movie. Great performance by Devon Sawa, who even thought he could act anymore. This is a good director. To take me through this just semi-interesting story, get me to like an end that they wanted to be shocking. Guys, it's just not great horror. It's just okay. So I'm going to rate Hunter Hunter. I'm going to give it like a 5.5 to 6 out of 10 and say, you can watch it, but it's just okay. Nick Stahl from Terminator 2 makes an appearance. I didn't really want to get into his character because that kind of spoils the movie, but he's in it as well. And he, good performances, good direction, just kind of boring story. And the payoff, I was like, I can't believe I wasted this much time for this payoff.
Recommended Hunter Hunter to me. Should I?
Gabe, there is no way you will like that movie. There's just no way I think you would like it. You can check it out and see. It's just, it's just slow, and the end is just gruesome. It's just not your okay. It's just not your cup of tea. But again, more than welcome. I didn't hate it. I didn't dislike it. It just could have been a really good movie. It really could have been great with just more story, more. I don't know. I just didn't like the way everything played out. Yeah. Really disappointed horror community. And the one I'm going to end on tonight is I want to tell you about The Dark and the Wicked.
Your mom, she was saying things. She would sit right beside him just whispering. But she wasn't talking to him.
We found it in her pocket. She didn't believe in God.
What was the matter with her? You believe?
I found Mom's diary.
What if she saw something out there?
I told y'all not to come.
There are things in this world, horrible things. Wicked. And they come for whoever they want.
This is a good horror film. It is not a great horror film. And again, this is at the top of people's list. 2020, sorry guys, not a good year for horror. The Dark and the Wicked was written and directed by Brian Bertino. If you know who Brian Bertino is, if that name's ringing a bell, he did The Strangers, which is probably the best modern day slasher film aside from like Scream. We'll say post Scream best slasher film is The Strangers. As far as being very scary, very intense. He puts together the story, The Dark and the Wicked, about a family who comes home to their parents' farm. Their dad is in some type of coma pretty much, although he's allowed to still be at home. And the mother is just very distraught, has a very hard time. They don't know what's going on with her. I don't think it's spoiling too much to say that the mother winds up hanging herself, commits suicide, the family. And so the daughter and the brother who's come home to see the family has to try to pick up the pieces and figure out what in the heck happens. This movie is not what I would call a fun horror watch. But if you like a scary film, this is pretty scary. It has a scene with a preacher who comes to visit the home. You find out later that something's up with this preacher. And when you find out what happens, it's just, I had tingling all over my spine. There's a really crazy shower scene in this movie. Some really scary images. It's just, it is a good, scary horror film. What kept it from being great is the ending. It does not end what I think extremely strong, because you don't find out really exactly what has taken place. Some people say that's a good thing. I needed just a little bit more to understand what is happening. It's not like you're just totally confused. You know that a dark force is at play here. So you know that. The story needed to be wrapped up a little bit better, but it is very well done. It's the best film that Brian Bertino has done since The Strangers, and I would definitely recommend this to our horror fans. I'm going to come in at a 7 to 7.5 out of 10 and say definitely check out The Dark and the Wicked. Have I sold you on either of those two movies?
Yeah, I've read and heard about The Dark and the Wicked. Sounds interesting. I would check that out. I wouldn't watch it by myself because I've heard it's pretty scary, but it's definitely one that I watched the trailer, read the reviews, and it kind of tracks with what you're saying, Wes, that it's pretty scary, pretty well made. I think it's definitely one I would watch. The other one, Hunter, I actually had never heard of that one. I actually looked it up while you were talking about it. I don't know if I want to watch it or not. I am kind of interested in that ending, though. I do love a good ending of a movie, but it sounds like to get there is kind of a slog. So
that it is. I will just warn the audience, it's brutal. And so you really watch, and I didn't know this going into it. Oh, I knew it had kind of like a crazy ending. I didn't realize it was a brutal ending. So I want to tell audiences that, because I went into it thinking, okay, cool, the ending's going to like be a big payoff.
Oh, yeah.
I just kind of left like,
Those are actually the endings I don't like.
That. Right.
Yeah. I love a good ending, but I don't love an ending where it's just like, I don't like an ending. I'm not saying this is what it is. I don't like an ending that almost seems cruel, or like it's like cruel just to be cruel, or like just to be kind of like what you're saying for the sake of shock. And it kind of, it's like really hurts the characters, and it's like, didn't like that. So I don't
know. It's not that exactly. You might even say that you're happy that what happens happens. But it just wasn't enough of a payoff for the rest of the movie not to have very much story to it. It's just one of those that's like, okay, why is this a movie? You know?
Me and you have been watching movies together long enough that you can be like, you know, Hunter, Gabe, you're not going to like it. Because, like, the person at work, he wasn't like saying, hey, you got to check out Hunter. He was saying, this movie is crazy. You should watch Hunter. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just being like, check this out. This movie's off the, you know, it's weird. But anyway,
it's not a bad movie. It's just not strong. It's not year's best, but, you know, it's.
Yeah, he was just saying it's crazy. Check out Hunter. He wasn't saying, Gabe, check out Hunter. But my question to you is, like, what would you compare The Dark and the Wicked to, like, Host? Like, give it, is it close to the quality of Host?
Well, the quality is better than the quality in Host. You know, Host is like a found footage type movie.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, movie-wise, you're right. Well,
the Host is more of a fun watch. This isn't necessarily a fun watch, as this is a... I mean, it's along the lines of like a Hell House LLC. It's a movie like that. It's just a scary movie. Yeah, if you like horror films, I say check it out. Like, I enjoyed it. I hate whenever a movie is just right on the cusp of greatness, but it just can't pull it off. And that's what The Dark and the Wicked is. It's not great, but it is really close to getting into that. This is a great film. It's just a good film. I may watch it one more time because there's some stuff I would like to see again and pick up on. Again, it's got some good eerie scenes in it. It is a scary movie.
Got it.
All right, audience. Well, that's all we have for this episode of Reviewing the New. And audience, a big thing you can do is subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast platform. Anytime we release a new episode, it'll download to your library and be waiting for you. If you get an opportunity, leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on social media. We're on Twitter at @real_cast, Facebook, Real Talk, a movie podcast page. We're on Instagram, official Real Talk podcast ran by friend of the show, Ren Burnett. We want to thank our podcast logo artist, Matt Holland, for designing it. And for us, that's a wrap.